Did he ask or he didn't answer? The only way I give class is by default, which is appropriate. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll be reading today from the second page marker, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 18. Atamayanapayanya Bhaktya Pakva Gunashayaha Bhaktya Pakva Nukash, excuse me, Bhaktya Pakva Gunashayaha Upayasya Tamadhama Nirvidya Niryadataha Atamayana Payanya Bhaktya Pakva Gunashayaha Upayasya Tamadhama Nirvidya Niryad Ataha. Atamayanapayanya Bhaktya Pakva Gunashayaha Upayasyatamadhama Nirvidya Niryad Ataha Atamayanapayanya Bhaktya Pakva Gunashayaha Upayasyatamadhama Vidya Nirayat Ataha. Ladies, Atha, therefore, mayi, unto me, anapayanya, without any deviation, bhaktya, by devotional service, pakfaguna, free from material contamination, ashayaha, your mind, Upayasyata, you will attain. Mat dhamma, my abode. Nirvidya, being completely detached. Nirayat, from material existence. Ataha, thus. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, after enjoying for 1 million celestial years, thereafter you will develop unadulterated devotional service unto me and be freed from all material contamination. At that time, being completely unattached to material enjoyment in the so-called heavenly planets, as well as in hellish planets, you will return home back to Godhead. Purport. By the grace of the Lord, the Prachetas were given special facilities. Although they could live millions of years to enjoy material facilities, they still would not be deviated from the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Being thus fully engaged, the Prachetas would be completely freed from all material attachment. Material attachment is very strong. During one lifetime, a materialist engages in acquiring land, money, friends, society, friendship, love, and so on. He also wants to enjoy the heavenly planets after the annihilation of the body. If one is engaged in devotional service, however, he becomes unattached to all kinds of material enjoyment and suffering. It's interesting. One can be attached to either enjoyment or suffering. In the material world, those who are elevated to the higher planetary systems are supposed to enjoy all material facilities, whereas those degraded to lower planetary systems are supposed to live in a hellish condition. A devotee, however, is transcendental to both heavenly and hellish conditions. According to Bhagavad Gita 14:26, a devotee's position is described in this way. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. A devotee is always situated on the Brahman platform. He has nothing to do with material happiness or distress. When one is strongly fixed in devotional service and free from all material attachment, uncontaminated by the material modes of nature, he becomes fit to return home, back to Godhead. Although by special blessing, the Prachetas would enjoy material facilities for millions of years, they would not be attached to them. Thus, at the end of their material enjoyment, they would be promoted to the spiritual world and return to Godhead. The word pakva gunashayaha has special significance, for it means that by devotional service, one is able to give up the influence of the three modes of material nature. As long as one is influenced by the modes of material nature, he cannot return to Godhead. It is clearly explained that all planets in the material world, beginning from Brahmaloka down to the hellish planets, are unfit places for a devotee. Padam padam yad vipadang nate sham. A place where there is danger at every step is certainly not a comfortable place. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartanarjuna Mam Upetya Tukanteya Punarjanma Navidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Thus, there is no profit, even if one is promoted to the highest planet in the material universe, Brahmaloka. However, if one is somehow or other promoted to the abode of the Lord, he never returns to the material world. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhati Swapadantikam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Atamayana payanya bhakya pakva gunashaya upayasyatamadhama nirvidya nirayarataha. Thereafter you will develop unadulterated devotional service unto me and be freed from all material contamination. At that time, being completely unattached to material enjoyment in the so-called heavenly planets, as well as in hellish planets, you will return home, back to Godhead. So if the material world from top to bottom is a place of misery and unfit for a devotee, padam padam yad vipadam na tasham, a place where there is danger at every step is certainly not a comfortable place. Why is Lord Vishnu giving the Prachetas millions and millions of years to live? Unfortunately, we have made this stupid decision again and again and again, although we made it one time originally, but again and again and again, to become materially contaminated by turning our attention away from service to Krishna. And having done so, Mama Maya Dorotaya, we can't get out of that circumstance. But if one is fortunate enough to receive the mercy of Krishna and his devotee, then one can achieve a foothold on the path back to the spiritual world. But that position is only gained by the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotee, by their own prerogative, not that one deserves it. Because, as this is explained here, the entire material world is nothing but a combination of the three modes of nature, and the living entity is either attached to enjoyment in the heavenly sense or suffering in the hellish sense, that is, goodness, passion, or ignorance. And none of these have anything to do with spiritual life or the merit of going back home, back to Godhead. So our ticket onto the Bhakti Express is a gift. And once having been given a gift, how that gift is used should be considered in terms of the desire of the person who has given the gift. So, the Prachetas have received the mercy of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is not but a servant of Lord Vishnu, although he's the greatest personality in this universe. So, all things considered, the Prachetas are simply following, as they followed their father, as they followed Lord Shiva, now they are following Lord Vishnu. He says, my desire is that you will stay here for millions and millions of years and enjoy material opulence. Because that's the service that I'm assigning. And because you have taken up the process that I've given to you, you will be protected. You will not be confused by the idea that you will be able to enjoy somewhere in this material world, but you'll always be on this platform of avyabhicharani bhakti, or the word used in the verse is anapayanya, without any deviation. And that way you'll go back to Godhead at the end of this period. So a moment or a million celestial years, both of them are enough time for us to forget about Krishna. So the key is not how long one will live, but rather how attached one is to carrying out the instruction that he has received from Krishna through Krishna's representatives, Lord Shiva, or whomever it may be. And then, whatever the Lord designates as our responsibility has to be fulfilled. And for the prachetas, that happen to be a lot of material facility and enjoyment. We also heard that same thing expressed about Prithu Maharaj, who was the forefather of the prachetas. Prithu Maharaj, although he's an incarnation of God, so the same rules don't exactly apply, but in one sense they do, because he's also a devotee. He was described as a person who was going to live with so much enjoyment that it was as if he were going to burn off all of the pious credits that he had received. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining that for a devotee of the Lord, devotee in the sense that I'm using it right now is the way that Srila Prabhupada is using it in the purport. A devotee is always situated on the Brahman platform. He has nothing to do with material happiness or distress. So that kind of devotee, Prithu Maharaj, doesn't have to deal with his karma, and he's not subject to the reactions of his karma. So the description that he's going to live his life as if he's enjoying all the results of his pious activities is just an expression so that we can get a sense of what it looks like. But factually speaking, a devotee is unattached to all kinds of material enjoyment and suffering. In other words, there's no place in this material world that he prefers to be. If he is pushed down to the hellish planets, as Bali Maharaj was, we were hearing that story recently, or if he's elevated to the heavenly kingdom, as the prachetas are being elevated, he's not looking at the condition, he's looking at the service. And that's the protection that he's receiving. So none of us knows where he's going in the future, in this life, what to speak of in the next one. Therefore, the only refuge, the only remedy for whatever difficulty may present itself is to be firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. In that way, if we don't fall down in any circumstance, then we don't have to be subject to the conditions, whether enjoyment or suffering. And this is something that we don't, I was contemplating for myself, it's not as easy to recognize as devotees, aspiring devotees, persons who are interested in transcending through the process of devotional service. We a lot of times try to avoid material happiness because the idea is that I'm not supposed to enjoy, which is true. We're not supposed to enjoy. But enjoyment is a mentality. Enjoyment is not a circumstance. Right? Like right now I'm sitting on the Vyasa-san. It's named after the personality who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I can be sitting on the Vyasa-san and enjoying the Vyasa-san, or I can just be sitting on the Vyasa-san because we tried to call Nityananda Prabhu and he didn't answer the phone, and Jai Jagannath Prabhu is not here. Nobody else was planning on giving class, so I just happened to be giving the class. So the position isn't equal to enjoyment. The consciousness is equal to enjoyment. Now, at the beginning of devotional service, because we have so many conceptions of enjoyment, beginning means until we've made a very strong connection to devotional service and been given directions on how to deal with certain circumstances under the shelter of a devotee, until we have a very firm situation like that, we know how to act for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, then we have to avoid certain things because the mind is stronger than our determination to serve. Therefore, we don't recommend things like going to a bar to preach to people about Krishna consciousness or, you know, sitting on the beach, you know, pretending that we're sunbathing and then turning around to the bikini women next to us and saying, "Hey, have you heard about Krishna? You're a spirit soul too." Not a good idea. Of course, we don't see pure devotees doing these things either, but that's simply because they have to set an example for the rest of us. But there is merit to avoiding circumstances in which we are so used to enjoying. However, the principle of not accepting anything, any material facility, because we don't want to be entangled, is not a proper principle. Rather, we should be trained, and we should seek training, how do I utilize this in Krishna's service? Otherwise, the result will be frustration, because actually, nirahara siddhi hinam, you know, we have this desire to enjoy something, but we're restraining ourselves artificially. And that can only go on for so long. And as is described in the Nectar of Instruction, there's two kinds of anger, two sources for anger, I should say. One is anger that arises from wanting to enjoy, uncontrollably wanting to enjoy avirodha priti, not restricting our enjoyment tendency. One can become angry because you're trying to enjoy and something stops you from enjoying and you become angry. And there's virodha, krodha, that comes from restricting the senses. I can't remember the Sanskrit. Virodha yukta krodha, I think, is the Sanskrit. Anyway, principle is more important than the Sanskrit. The principle of restricting the senses, and then anger arises or builds up due to trying to restrict. Rather than either of these being uncontrollably in the enjoyment mood or trying to restrict artificially the enjoyment mood, one should learn how to utilize things properly. That allows one to be in this position of full devotional service, not falling down in any circumstance. Because guess what? Even if we try to avoid circumstances where enjoyment is going to come, we can't do it. Because I didn't want to give class today, but it happened. So, what to do? who is expressing, even in the temple, you can have the material facilities and enjoyment that you, your mind is seeking. Because the principle of enjoyment is being the predominator, and anywhere that we have the chance to do that, the ugly head of sense gratification tendency will rear itself. Rather, we should learn, how do I serve in this circumstance, and then make the meditation, we can all understand this, to make it a meditation to not behave, but carry out our life according to that instruction or instructions or the understanding that we receive in general from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra of how to conduct ourselves in the material world. And it's not like we're going to achieve this mamcha yovya vicharina position immediately. It's a gradual process. But we should desire to do that. We should desire not to avoid the material situation that we're in, but rather we should aspire to constantly be in a loving mood of service to Krishna. That's specifically how it's expressed here. Although they could live millions of years to enjoy material facilities, they would still not be deviated from the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Being thus fully engaged, the prachetas would be completely freed from all material attachment. Material attachment is very strong, and then Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that a materialist collects all these things. Why does he collect all these things in this lifetime? Because his heart is not satisfied. Society, friendship, land, money, friends, love, and then predominate in the heavenly planets after the body is gone. But if one is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he becomes unattached to either material enjoyment or suffering. So to overcome all the modes of nature, bhakti yogena sevate, one has to learn the art of acting with thoughtfulness according to the instructions of the previous acharyas, with enthusiasm, patience, and confidence that Krishna is there and that we'll be happy in his association. This is a paraphrase of the way Srila Prabhupada expresses in the Nectar of Instruction what it means, utsahan nistraya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sangha jagat satovrite. So it's a science, in other words. We may try to achieve a platform, Brahma Bhuyaya, like equanimity or peacefulness, remove from our mind the sense enjoyment tendency. But it's not a disease of the mind, it's a disease of the heart. And the prachetas, because they were happy just serving their father and Lord Shiva and then Lord Vishnu, would not fall prey to the difficulties. So if we are not, or let's say it the positive way, we should seek out and cultivate that opportunity to serve in our life. Because if we simply try to avoid the material circumstances, mama maya durateya, the material circumstances won't leave us to do that. Eventually, we want to go back to Godhead. We're not interested in being here. Padam padam yad vipadam datesham, danger at every step. Not a comfortable place. From the highest planet to the lowest, it's all a place of misery. But this life has to be lived. So let us do it in a loving mode of service to Krishna. Okay. Thank you all for participating. Any comments or questions? Yes, Richard Prabhu.
Can you think of an example of something, like just an example of utilizing what you were describing? You didn't really give any examples. Someone becoming frustrated if they don't use this kind of thing.
Well, all of us will have something different because all of our modes of nature are different. So I don't know how. Not that it's a bad question or something. I don't know how valuable my examples will be, but to individual persons, we have to examine for ourselves. But it can be a myriad of things. In principle, maybe that will help us to find out for ourselves the ways in which we are enjoying. In principle, it's the pushings described in the beginning of Enter Instruction. Any of the Vegas, Manasa Vega, Udara Vega, stomach, whatever the thing is that really controls our mind, when it pops up, we just go with it. And it doesn't have to look like some big manifestation of, you know, I went into the cooler at 12 o'clock at night and just like started like throwing open all the lids and like eating all the prasadam. Or it doesn't have to be like, you know, I kicked a devotee because he wouldn't wake up in the morning. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be like something so drastic as that. It's just this idea that something happened and I wasn't consciously aware that it happened. And it was one of these things, pushings that took control. And I didn't have the time to consider, how do I use this circumstance for Krishna? And that will be something different for everyone, depending on whatever the strongest urges are affecting us by the grace of the modes of nature. So that's in principle. And all of us have to become aware for ourselves. By the awareness will come, not by going to a psychologist and examining ourselves by a test. Rather, as we are becoming more and more desirous of serving, it will be made apparent to us, or it will become clearer, the ways in which we're not serving. That's the way that we want to do it. That's not depressing. Depressing is, I messed up here, I messed up there, I messed up over there too. Look at that urge, couldn't control myself. Oh, why did I do that? So, you know, this is called mental examination. We want heart examination. Am I serving Krishna or not? Oh, I could have served Krishna better. Let me focus more. Let me chant more attentively, actually calling out with the desire that I want to be engaged in devotional service. Then we'll be able to see these things, but they won't overwhelm us. They'll just be indications of how we can improve our service. Thank you for your question. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Masterji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the class. It was very good. And I'm very ignorant on this subject, but in the Bhagavad Gita, you mentioned in chapter 8, text 16, and it says, Krishna says that once we take to his abode, we will never return to this material world. And I've always had a question about that, and someone brought it up recently to my attention, is how did we get into this material world? You know, that's probably like the most basic question, but I don't know the answer.
Somehow I get this question when I'm giving classes. I don't know why.
Thank you.
Hopefully that means that I'm either answering it wrong and I'm supposed to learn how to answer it right or something. I don't know. I'm just going to repeat what Srila Prabhupada explains in a lecture. I'll preface it with this remark that Jai Jagannath Prabhu made in class the other day when somebody asked this question to me and I answered it and he made this remark. And it's also expressed like this by Srila Prabhupada, that the way we can address that question is why, one way, if this doesn't work for me, but it may work for somebody, why does it matter how we got here? You can see that you're in a difficult situation, so let's just look at how to get out. However, Srila Prabhupada does explain it more than that. He says that this is not something that we can examine. I'm expressing that. No, it's not something that we should so much examine. But the understanding is simple understanding. Srila Prabhupada says, he gives this as the analogy. Just see, I don't know where they were. So many persons are swimming in the water. Now it must be summertime or something. So many persons are swimming in the water. So you like to swim in the water. And when you're swimming in the water, who has induced you to enter into the water? It's not your natural situation, but you desired to go into the water. So in the same way, who has induced you to come to the material world? There's no such question. And when you want to enjoy the material world, then you come to the material world. So why, if we're going back and never coming again, is it that we ever came in the first place? A simple answer is, and it logically follows that explanation, that after coming here and going back, we won't want to enjoy again. That's the simple explanation. We'll learn our lesson. And here it's being expressed that where does he say? Maybe he doesn't give the exact phrase that I was looking for. But he says, when one's strongly fixed in devotional service and free from all material attachment, uncontaminated by the modes of nature, he becomes fit to return home, back to Godhead. I thought that he made another statement, but I guess... as long as one is influenced by the modes of material nature, he cannot return to Godhead. So we're in the midst of the modes of material nature. We're like in the soup. Like from the spiritual world, it may have been possible to conceive of the soup or see the soup or something like that, and we somehow decided that we wanted to taste the soup. But right now we're in the soup, and we're like got full experience of what the soup is. So now if we can come to this platform of being completely satisfied without the soup anymore, then in the spiritual world, we're also not going to care for the soup. It's not that it's not possible to come back to the material world, but one will not desire to come back to the material world. Just as a pure devotee doesn't desire to enjoy anymore while he's here. Like that. But prior to coming, we didn't have that same understanding. So we made a bad decision. After learning the lesson, then we won't make the same decision again. And we won't go back until we've learned the lesson. So that's as far as I think I want to try to answer the question. Hopefully that's... something helpful. Okay. Oh. Something. How much, bro? I don't know, to be honest. Radha Ramana Prabhu, if he's here, can you maybe say? I don't know. Since the camera's still going, if we want to finish the class, then go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for class.
Thank you for attending.
In terms of staying in the mode of devotional service at all times, favorable and unfavorable, I'm just wondering what we do, what people do that helps that, you know, what
to stay fixed,
chanting, reading scripture, associating with each other. I'm just wondering what kind of tips people may have about the practicality
of how to always be,
yes,
in all circumstances.
Yes.
It's a very, I think that's what they call maybe an open-ended question. And just like there's so much, it's like the whole process of devotional service. I'll just say something that I was inspired to say, that there's different components. This is a practical thing. There's different components that help us to remain satisfied. Basically, that's the problem, not remaining satisfied. Even if we're not pure devotee means like, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about like completely beyond the idea even of enjoying materially. Before we reach that stage, what keeps us from returning to indulgence and sense gratification is satisfaction in our in devotional service, somehow or other, being satisfied with something progressive and related to Krishna. So there's different kinds of activities. There's activities that are specifically like our occupation, and there's activities that are things that we like to do that we find inspirational, like Himanshu Baru organizes the, you know, Harinam. Something he likes to do. It's inspirational, but it's also valid activity. It's not just like I go off and just start doing something that's fun, but it's a part of the program that Srila Prabhupada has given for us. So there's inspirational activities, there's our standard services that we've been given. I said occupational, it's the same thing, prescribed or accepted daily services. And there's our sadhana activities. So within these, we find satisfaction, or we seek out satisfaction. Because these will keep us within the, you know, corral of Krishna consciousness, you know, so that we're not straying outside of that. And that for us is good enough for the time being. That for us is to be continue to be engaged in happiness and distress. It may be that when I'm experiencing a certain type of attachment being pulled, the suffering one maybe, then I have to, which is an attachment too, that's what's expressed here. All these things are attachment. The reason that we suffer is due to attachment to lower modes of nature. It's not, you know, just because the soul goes through suffering sometimes. It's because we have an attachment to matter. And we're getting absorbed in that. So when we feel those kinds of pulls for suffering, it may be that my inspiration is I go and I just want to open Lilamrita and sit and read about Prabhupada's pastimes or something. Instead of chanting extra rounds or cleaning the temple room floor or something, maybe I just have to turn on following Srila Prabhupada and get inspired by his sacrifice that he made for us or something. It's still within the realm of devotional service, so it counts as not being carried away by happiness or distress. As long as, of course, we don't spend the whole day just watching videos and don't chant our rounds or something like that. We have a basic thing that we have to do. And we have services that we have taken up, and we should do those, carry those out properly. But we should know also where we can take shelter and where our strengths lie, because all of us will have different strengths in Krishna consciousness. I may really be relieved by sitting and singing. I may really be relieved by, you know, cleaning the temple. I may really be relieved by reading. All of these are bona fide. So we find that space within Krishna consciousness to help us deal with the ups and downs, and we take shelter there. And ultimately, that's when we're beginning Krishna consciousness, but when we're more fixed up in our relationship with Guru and Krishna, one can simply call out to, take shelter of, look to the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. And one's heart being completely sheltered there, one can continue unaffected through all circumstances of life. Like Ambarish Maharaj, when the fiery demon came to him, he didn't like say, "Mommy," or he didn't say, like, you know, "Oh, I wish I were back in the temple taking prasadam," or something. You know, he was just like, Krishna is going to take care of everything. So there's different levels, but we have to be where we are. And if we are not on that platform, then we should take shelter somewhere within the vicinity of devotional activities. And we should know how to do that. Recreation of a devotional nature is very important, because we can't go from 100 miles per hour sense gratification to jiro so quickly. We have to have an idea of how we can feel satisfied according to our particular dispositions and things like that. Okay, I'm just going to stop probably just running on and on and on. It's a big question. The answer in simple is the process of devotional service. Practical thing, we should know how to utilize these different types of devotional service that we can do without getting carried away with, "I like this, I like that." But we should know how to find things that pacify our mind within Krishna consciousness. And that counts for both happiness and distress. Happiness is also a sign of attachment, not just distress. So we should take shelter in both circumstances. Happiness of a material sort means mental happiness, not heart satisfaction and service. Any more comments or questions? Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Anybody who's going to participate in the monthly Sankirtan festival, Kirtana Mataji is saying the meeting time in the temple room, right, is 9:45. So please be here at that time. On time. Okay.